This week in your parents' basement, we're revving up our engines and tearing up and down the highways of America. From 1991, we're playing Road Rash by Electronic Arts for the Sega Genesis. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me this week is the co-host that looks great in leather. It's Huell Hauser.
No, the Road Rash didn't start in a galaxy far, far away, but it did start a long time ago, right here in your own backyard. In the way back, two bad boys known as Fang and Polygon were racing their way to stardom.
Is that from the manual?
Oh, there. This is a juicy manual, my friends.
I'm excited already.
Get ready.
And our other regular co-host, he looks smashing in leather. It's Todd Brisket.
I guess I thought I was Elvis Presley, but I'll tell you something. All Elvis did was stand on a stage and play guitar. He never fell off on that pavement at 80 miles per hour.
Oh.
I wouldn't put it past.
No, definitely. Today we're joined by a special two-time guest. This Texan looks awesome in leather. It's the Barrel.
Listen to my cycle, purring like a big cat, ready to bounce.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. This week's game is Road Rash. Released in 1991, Road Rash definitely was a market leader when it came to games that allowed you to ride a motorcycle and to hit someone else with a chain. The idea of the game is to win races and earn money to upgrade your bike, but the far funner aspect was beating the crap out of your fellow racers. Barrel, you nominated this game for coverage, so why don't you start the discussion off for us?
All right, thanks. It's good to be back. I've been listening to the show religiously.
And,
Yeah. Sweet boy now. And
honorable sweet boy.
Sweet baby boy.
Yeah, I was surprised this wasn't a sooner one, because for me, being a Genesis owner as a 13-year-old, when this came out, I was in. And, up to this point, there wasn't a lot of rudeness going on with driving games. You know?
They're all so nice.
Yeah, they were so nice. Pole Position, RC Pro-Am. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, okay.
And then this comes along, and it's just in your face, bro.
Oh.
It's in your face.
This is, I think this started the extreme movement of the 90s,
I'm pretty sure this is what started hitting, including hitting with vehicles, racing. It basically started Grand Theft Auto, is all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I think Mountain Dew just appeared one day in convenience stores when this game was released.
Yeah.
No one greenlit the product. No one designed it. It just showed up.
I mean, we wouldn't be wearing our hypercolor shirts to this day if not for this game.
Yeah.
You know, all Doritos up to this day Nacho cheese. Yep. What's that? Oh, it's Cool Ranch.
Cool Ranch was released side by side with this video game. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And yeah, just for people who haven't played it, motorcycle, 15 racers, you start at the back of the pack, and no matter which bike you have, you're pretty much faster than everybody. But if you mess up, it's pretty tough to overcome, you know, like if you get hit by an oncoming car, if somebody knocks you off your motorcycle, it really defeats the time. I guess it's time-based on how you get to first place. And the first couple of levels are around 5 miles, getting close to 6 miles. And then when you get into the higher levels, it's like 15, 16, 20-mile races. And they take 10 minutes apiece. So if you screw up, you get mad and throw the controller. I don't.
Yes, yeah, hopefully, for sure. Hopefully, there's an odometer on the screen.
There is.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to count. You have to remember how long it is when you select the map before you start it, so you know how much longer you have.
But really, that doesn't really make a difference because, like Beryl said, like you're pretty much just zooming forward the entire time, and the real skill is just not crashing.
And my. Yeah, and to my surprise, you know, I had this game and played it a lot in the early 90s, but I fired it up on an emulator, and after about 10 minutes, my muscle memory came in, and I knew all the tracks. I couldn't believe it.
That's pretty cool.
And so it gave me more time to focus on grabbing the club from Biff and then using it on everybody.
That's my favorite.
But I didn't take the time to do what I did when I was a sadistic kid and just pick somebody out in the race.
And just hunt them down.
Yeah, hunt them and then knock them off their bike and then they get on their bike and then you just, as soon as they get on, you knock them off.
Yeah, that is some like intro level GTA stuff. you're just stalking a single racer.
And he's like, you know, he's thinking to himself, come on, I have no energy. Why are you doing this to me? But, you know, it doesn't matter. None of this matters. Here comes the club.
None of this matters. You can see the enemy's life bar, and it does like gradually fill back up. So Barrel's right, you have to continuously beat this guy to keep him down, or else he's gonna like get better, and you're just not gonna allow that.
No, I mean
it's not gonna pass.
But I mean, you know, miles and miles and miles of practice, and I think still the most rewarding thing is because there's really, just to give everybody a background who hasn't played, there's, you can grab a club and use it, you can kick people. You can backhand a naked hand, you know, just kind of like a bitch slap.
Yeah.
And then you can just straight up punch. And when you punch, it has a lot more effectiveness if your bike is ramming into them at the same time. Mm. But
some velocity behind that.
I never pulled off a backhand, and they try to make it easier for you because they have two rear view mirrors, side mirrors. That show on the screen, so you can see when somebody's coming up on you to backhand them. But I've never successfully pulled one off.
Oh, it's rewarding.
Those side mirrors are a technological marvel. That's incredible, incredible graphics.
Yeah, and but like I was saying, my favorite move is to kick a fellow racer into oncoming traffic.
Mm-hmm. And then, nice.
And then use those mirrors to watch their body flailing around.
That was the best part. When you see someone else hit a car, and you can look in the mirror and watch them fly into the air. That is a great part.
I mean, I just instinctually just yell out, "See ya!"
Oh my god! Because yeah, this is an underground street race. So you're in live traffic.
And it's gritty, you know. This is like the Super NES didn't want anything to do with this.
This is a Genesis game.
Yeah,
for
this
sure.
is gritty Genesis. Like,
and you can't get that rockin' soundtrack to emulate on the Super Nintendo.
No, mm-hmm. probably not. No. Mm. Pretty good soundtrack.
That tingy, the twangy guitar, hard rock.
There's some good chord progressions in some of the songs. I was surprised when I was re-listening.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Yeah,
the later versions, Sega CD, PC, and 3DO, they actually just use like actual music soundtrack, like Soundgarden, Paw, what? Monster Magnet, like they are on the CD.
That's hilarious. Hmm.
In 1994, it received 3DO Soundtrack of the Year Award.
Oh, the 3DO, the coveted 3DO awards.
Yeah, I don't know how it possibly could have been out the
from
horde.
St. Paul, Minneapolis, from the Twin Cities, the 3DO awards.
Wikipedia also notes that there was a Super Nintendo port, and I don't know why it was planned for release in 1996 and then canceled. Maybe because they realized it was 1996, but
yeah,
probably shouldn't release this.
Carmageddon exists. Why would we release this?
Yeah. Although, wow, shockingly, I guess Nintendo supported the Super Nintendo until 1999 in the U.S., which seems like 5 years more than I would have guessed. But
yeah, N64 was 96. That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Grand Theft Auto 5 on my PlayStation 3, and I'm just out in Bastard Island. How did that work out?
Anyways, Road Rash is... I don't know. I don't think I enjoyed this game as much as you guys did, it sounds like.
Did you play as a young Steve?
No, and that is probably why. Like,
I think that is why. Like, go ahead.
It's too intense for you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I didn't play 1 as much as 2 because whenever I got my Genesis, 2 had already come out. So that was my jam, the Road Rash genre, the Road Rash oeuvre is 2. Mm-hmm. And so we played the hell out of that one as kids. Mm-hmm. And popping in number 1 now today as an adult, I can feel it coming back to me. This is prime racing on the 16-bit era.
Yeah, for sure. Coming into this, I thought I had played this as a kid, but like you, Todd, I actually had Road Rash 2. And that's more, that's actually even grittier. I think it's more desert-based and sort of more Mad Max-y. But in this one, it's a little simpler. You got like, you got different settings. You got like the forest and the Pacific Coast Highway.
Ooh.
It's a little lush, a little more lush.
I thought I had played this one as a kid, but then I realized, no, I had only played Super Hang-On, which is...
What? Yeah, that's Super predecessor, Sega's predecessor to Road Rash.
Yeah, that's... although oddly, as far as I can tell, there isn't an actual link. It's just that, you know, there's only so many ways you can make a motorcycle racing game, so...
Well, I always love the name of that game. They call it Hang-On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your job is to hang on to a bicycle.
Got some hangers.
Yeah, and there's like much more of an emphasis of like riding with a bent knee or whatever. Like whenever you turn, like your guy puts his knee to the ground, it looks like. And it's like, huh, that seems weird, but that's whatever.
That was a big thing in the late 80s, early 90s was making contact with the ground while you're on the road.
As like a motorcyclist?
Yeah, it was the way to let everybody know that, you know, you had the cojones to pull it off, even if you were dragging steel and making sparks. It was like all the girls saw it and was just like, oh, look at him. It went away. Yeah, nobody drags a knee anymore.
I feel like they do, it's just no one watches motorcycle racing.
Ooh.
That's my guess.
Ooh, boy.
I'll take.
Sorry,
guys.
Let's not offend our international listeners, because I think motorbike racing, as they say, is one of the most popular sports in the world, besides footy.
Mm.
Oh,
definitely in India. That's where also, I think it's bigger.
Also, not a sport.
Oh, well, that's come on, Huel. But yeah, I'm kind of with you.
Yeah. So, did anybody jump rocks? Or cows.
Oh yeah! Don't think I jumped the cows, but plenty of rock jumping, plenty of like hill jumping. Like if you're going fast enough, and then the road dips down. You're hurtling through the air.
Get airborne.
It's pretty awesome.
Did you get on a? Did you get on a 1000? Could you handle that?
I don't think I played enough to buy better bikes.
Ooh,
if that's what you're asking.
That's why it sucked. That's why it gets boring. You get it.
I think I bought the second one, and I was like, "Eh, I get it." Mm-hmm.
I see.
You can't handle all that muscle between his legs.
No, I'm not used to that. Not used to something that big between there. That thick. But I was going to ask Beryl, like, was there any particular name that you picked out that you remember of your torture victims?
Oh, there's so many, but...
Because there are a lot. There's a lot of great names in this.
Yeah, one of my favorites...
Did you find a list?
I found a list, but it's way too long to read them all.
Yeah. You know, I actually do have one that sticks out, and he's in level one, and he starts at the back of the pack, so he's already having a bad day. And is a fellow by the name of Rude Boy.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
So I punched me plenty of Rude Boy playing this.
Yeah, there's something about Rude Boy's face where I don't even get 50 yards into the race, and he better be on the ground.
It's just the way he carries himself.
Yeah, he's cocky.
It's Rude Boy. I mean, come on, man.
But, I mean, if you take a step back, you know, you start getting some sympathy and humanitarianism and think to yourself, okay, this guy got out of bed in the morning, put on his leathers. He's going to the race. The day has all the unlimited potential. I mean, he might be making $750 winning that day, you know, and 50, maybe 75 feet into the race. He's on the ground. His bike is laying next to him. And Slayer 1 is off in the distance. And never...
Slayer! That is amazing.
So, poor son of a bitch. But, I mean, you walk around in the pre-race like that, you get what coming.
That's what happens. I mean, you put a target on your back. That's exactly what he does.
Kids are just going to have to go another night without food.
Yeah. Sorry, kids. I called myself Rude Boy before the race.
That's why he's not a rude man. It's because he doesn't put food on the table.
He can't handle it.
I can't argue with that reasoning.
There's also a scab boy, which I thought, not what you want to present to the public, I guess.
Doesn't sound like a leader of the pack.
Nah, he's a middle of the pack guy. But one guy I did encounter, guy by the name of Shiva.
Ooh.
He is a popular racer.
Good for him.
Yeah. Doing some side work. Racing bikes. Yeah, lots of great names. Lots of great names.
Mm-hmm.
And cops.
Yeah, you can't fight the cops in this one.
Yeah, you can just kind of shove them out of the way as you pass by them.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to mention them. Yeah, you can get hauled off to jail in this game, and that's game over, correct?
If you don't have the money to cover your bail, or if your bike health meter gets down and you wreck it, and you don't have the money to cover your repairs, that's really the only two ways that the game is over. Because if you rack up a whole bunch of money beating Rude Boy senseless and, you know, save up thousands, you can just repeatedly just wreck your bike or get, you know, arrested without really any consequence.
Well, just it's like just real life.
Damn it. You beat it.
Gotta be quick. Yeah. Got enough money, you can buy your way out of anything.
Yep.
Exactly.
So, Hugh, at the beginning of the show, you mentioned the manual for this one.
Oh, boy, yeah.
So I would like to hear more about this manual.
Yeah, the backstory I started off with in my line at the top, it's very deep. This is a very deep and story-driven game, believe it or not. It's these two racers, Fang and Polygon, two of the greatest names I've ever heard of. They were like legitimate bike racers, but they they built up this feud with each other that it got so out of hand that they're like, all right, we're just going to race each other. No rules. After dark somewhere or whatever. And like their racing with punches and kicks got so popular that everyone else wanted to ride the Road Rash.
Oh. And,
so they built up this following where everyone comes through. And there's no doctors. That's a big point about this game.
Big selling point.
Yeah.
No doctors. You get an infection, you die.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If your helmet doesn't have a sticker that says Western Medicine with the red circle with the line through it.
Exactly.
You ain't on the tour, bud.
It's a red cross with a red line through it. So yeah, it goes, no rules, just you and me, Fang said. Got a death wish, boy, taunted Polygon. He narrowed his eyes and continued. You got it. Meet me at the long section on the Pacific coast at noon tomorrow and bring a doctor. I'll tell him to bring bring a broom so he can sweep what's left of him off the pavement, said Fang. Fang brought his doctor, but it was pointless. The injuries and abominable disregard for the law begun that day were to set the tone for the thousands of Road Rash races to follow. Punching, kicking, and clubbing at 150 miles per hour are the norm for rashers, but there are no doctors present anymore.
It seems questionable why anyone would get involved with this after seeing that first one.
You could win hundreds of dollars, Steve Greenwell. that answers your question right there.
I think it's to win the love of Natasha.
That's a very good point. You want to hear about Natasha's backstory here?
Absolutely.
She smiled at me, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing more.
Exactly. Natasha was born in Arizona, raised in Babylonia, but she rides like a bat out of hell. If you attack Natasha, prepare for her revenge. Be cool to her if you want some help. That's so Natasha...
Is it like Babylonia, Utah, or what?
Babylonia, New Mexico. So Natasha was actually the girlfriend of Polygon. And she had distracted Fang enough for Polygon to like mess with his bike and crash it. Like
She's one of the rashers.
She is a rasher now. I think Fang and Polygon are in the past.
They're the OG rashers.
They might have given up their rashing style. But Natasha's back in the mix.
Mm.
Along with Biff.
Oh, Biff.
Biff. Can't stand him. That smug bastard.
And he tries to lead you down the wrong path.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, buddy.
Yeah. He acts like he's your friend.
Yeah. He's like, oh, wow, dude. As soon as you can afford a new bike, buy it, bro.
I mean, if that's possible.
Yeah, but.
When you can afford it, I mean.
Yeah, but as soon as you buy it, if you get arrested or your bike is crashed, you can't afford it and your game is over.
That's exactly what.
Yeah, he sounds a little different than I thought he would, but.
That's bad.
Race is over.
He looks young, but he's a grandpa.
He's 79.
came back from the future.
It's all that plastic surgery.
Yeah,
I'm saying
tell.
The man loves Werther's Originals. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, who doesn't enjoy good Werther's Originals?
Yeah, he's not smiling in that picture. It's just how his face is at all times. Yeah, Biff. What a guy.
So, just to touch briefly on the history of this old series now, the series basically spun out as the 1990s continued. Two sequels were released for a bunch of different platforms, and they basically were slight upgrades with new tracks. As I mentioned before, though, the CD-based game, Sega CD, 3DO, PlayStation, I think there was even a Saturn version, they did have commercial music soundtracks that were well-received. 3DO soundtrack of the year, as Todd pointed out. There is a spiritual successor, Road Redemption, being developed by Pixel Dash Studios and EQ
Games. The game was announced in April 2013 and originally scheduled for release in August 2014 after a Kickstarter campaign. An alpha version came out in 2016, but the proper full release still has not come out. So
I did not know that.
Yep, it's getting pretty pretty delayed, kind of like the old Shaq Fu. So
yeah, it's on a 3-year delay at this point.
Yep.
That's a good sign. It's a good sign.
Yeah. Well, they did at least release an alpha version, so it's not like completely vaporware. They've stolen this money and just given it up, but
you still know. Hanging on, just like that other game.
Mm-hmm.
The Hang On Riders or whatever it was called. True.
So, I don't know. Sorry, I got distracted just now, and I thought to myself, when is that Shaq Fu sequel coming out? And I
good question.
That's worth it to grind the show to a halt. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I need to know the
2 years ago, right? 2 years ago now is when we talked about it originally.
It was like the fifth or sixth game we did, I think.
They raised $473,000 for it, and it still hasn't come out.
I think they just went to shoes for Shaq.
Well, shoes. That may have only got him one shoe. It's a large man.
Cool.
No, there's, as far as I can tell, there's no there's no update except that there's gonna be a Switch version.
All right. That's what they've been saving up for.
So,
I'm really wondering if that's even enough money to make like a modern video game. Probably. We'll see.
Oh, finally, Saber Interactive, makers of both NBA Playgrounds and Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn, told Nintendo consumers yesterday that they'll get a free copy of Shaq Fu when it launches later this year.
Hmm. What was that for?
NBA Playgrounds.
Oh, yeah. I think you told us that like a year ago.
I don't know.
It's probably still the same story.
Yeah.
Because nothing's been updated.
In response to the Shaq 2 discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. Trust us.
Yeah, yeah.
Buy this game.
You know, they're just tweaking all the fighters because they want this to become the next hot new fighting game on the tournament scene.
Mm-hmm.
They want it to be the new Injustice 2.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. It needs to be perfect. It needs to be perfectly balanced. It needs to be all the right moves. All the right moves, that kind of thing. Sorry.
Oh. There is this helpful note in a Polygon story. Shaq Fu Legend Reborn was crowdfunded for $450,000 in early 2014 and promised versions for PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Windows 360, and Xbox One. Since then, the PS3, Wii U, and Xbox 360 have all been discontinued by their makers. So, since this has been crowdfunded, three of the versions have died out. But outside of that... So, basically, the Road Rash spiritual successor has the same issue.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Cost maybe, tens of millions to get the games you want.
Maybe they're trying to get Shaq into Road Rash, Road Redemption, and that's what's delaying both games.
I would love that if they did not change the size of the bike and you just have this giant 7'3" basketball player just like just on one of these tiny bikes.
This looks like those 50s circuses that had bears riding tricycles.
Yeah. Oh, man. They should add a bear as a playable character, too, while they're at it. That's a great idea.
You want this game to come out in 2023? Just adding more characters in?
I want them to turn it into the racing series version of Tekken, where, like, Tekken, you're just fighting, like, oh, look, you're fighting a bear and a tiger.
Or, like, a guy with a tiger head.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just, you know, let's just get weird with it, man. Yeah. But I understand that Todd, you might have a reason why this is the most best game of all time.
I do. I have two reasons why. I think that Beryl obviously thinks this is an excellent game. I think it's a good game for its time. Doesn't sound mm-hmm. like Huel or Steve were impressed that much.
I did not mean to give that impression.
Okay, maybe just Steve then. But here's the first reason why Steve is wrong. This review is titled "Great" by Nicholas Gade. And he wrote, "The best game ever. Glad I bought it. Been look everywhere for this game. Wow. Boom fantastic. Cool tubular."
Wow.
No. I didn't know a Ninja Turtle wrote in.
Yeah. I didn't think those fingers could hit a keyboard correctly, but guess I was wrong.
Yeah. It's nice maybe, to maybe hear my Siri. Peers. Yeah.
Rad tubular. I hear you saying that all the time.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next one is titled 5 stars. Oh, by the way, that last review, 5 stars. This one is titled 5 stars. And it's by Harshvardhan Rajvanshi. And he wrote,
okay.
"My man,
can you keep another Road Rash CD? Because Road Rash CD I love so very much." And he replied to his own review saying,
"Always a good sign."
Yep.
"All the options I saw, that gift option not available. Why?" And he replied again to his own review saying, "All the options of Road Rash CD is not available. Please available it by 100%. 5 stars.
Oh. 5 stars.
See, these guys know what's up. This is a good game.
I mean, with that ringing endorsement, it's hard to argue. Hard to argue against it being a great game.
I mean, why wouldn't you available it 100%?
Please,
there's no reason not to.
It sounds like
please
it's 0%.
Do the needful and available it.
Please do the needful.
Oh my god. Well, yeah, I'm swayed by those reviews, especially that last one.
Welcome yeah, now aboard. You've changed your mind. Yeah.
Welcome yeah. aboard.
It feels good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, yeah. I have not heard such a ringing endorsement than when Robert Dottie Jr. wrote into the show 1 week, and he swayed my mind on something just as important as this.
It's all important, Steve.
Yeah. They're all good dogs. So, Road Rash. What a game. Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Oh, I love the animation of running back to the bike. I thought that was fun. When you crash.
Oh, that is, yeah, it's nice, cute. It's cute, I'd say. It's cute.
Yeah, you got your limbs flailing around, all that kind of stuff. It's great.
Oh, nice.
It's a great time. It's a great time.
Mm-hmm. Todd, how about you? Anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, as I was playing this game, I was thinking, what would be a great weapon to add into the series? What if I were a rasher? If I were a rasher.
Show me Todd's road
rash. This is what I got. If I were a rasher, I'd have a quiver full of broomsticks. Huh. And as I ride up next to somebody, I whip out one of those broomsticks, jam it right in their front wheel. Boom. Dead.
Nice.
That's a good standard. Yep.
That's very good.
Yeah. I mean, if you just wanted to kill them, why wouldn't you just bring a gun with you, though?
They have helmets, well, Steve.
Yeah, that's breaking the ethics of the rash.
That's something a non-rasher would say.
Yeah.
That's the second rule. It's the second rule of road rash. The first being no doctors. The second, no guns.
And the third one is hands off Natasha. She's mine.
Jeez,
cannot tell if that is actually in the game or not. Like I could go either way on it. Anyways, so Road Rash, good game.
Barrel's final thoughts, perhaps.
I will say that, you know, we take for granted when you can run over pedestrians.
That's a good point.
In 1991, a guy running back to his bike. This is all a kid had.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Wow. Okay, yeah.
It was very satisfying to hear the "Hoo!" And I'll always respect it. They were the ones who broke that, you know, they broke that barrier.
Yeah, the glass ceiling of murdering bystanders.
Yeah, they were like, see that man? 13-year-old barrel? You can hit him.
There's a lot of people who broke glass ceilings. There's Jackie Robinson. There's Glory Steinem. And
oh,
then
get out.
Developers of Road Rash.
Thank you. EA.
Electronic Arts.
Yes, creators of FIFA.
There's only
that yellow thing. While their cartridges are so tall with that yellow little yellow tab on it, that's where they hide Rosa Parks.
What? They hide her?
Well, yeah. On that note, Todd, I believe we have an email this week.
We got a voicemail.
A voicemail.
Oh,
yeah. Voicemail. Yeah.
I mean, we did receive emails as well, but I believe you said that we have voicemail.
We do have a voicemail, and here it is.
Oh, yeah, YPP, it's the Macho Man, and I gotta tell you, this is one of the best podcasts about video games on God's green earth, Lots of people might not think that the Macho Man would listen to podcasts about video games, but let me just say this, I'm a chameleon, and I'm talking about the beat goes on and the beat goes on. And I'm looking at this podcast feed and I'm seeing 100 episodes, And that lets me know that this podcast is the cream of the crop, Cause I'm too hot to handle, too cold to hold. And if you got a problem with this podcast, you got a problem with the Macho Man, My curiosity is killing me just like a cat. Would be killed by the curiosity, So I gotta ask, what game would you smash if you saw anyone playing it? Just like the Macho Man is gonna smash Hulk Hogan on Super Sunday, Feel the macho madness, cause it's coming straight at you, Hogan, No more questions!
Wow. What a
that
get.
Was
wow.
Incredible.
There was a lot in that.
I'm sure whoever left that voicemail took a lot out of him.
Well, I mean, especially since Randy Macho Man has since passed away.
He has not been with us for quite some time, That's interesting.
I bet the estate wants a copy of that.
Yeah. It could be an important part of his history.
I think it's especially odd since I think he passed before we even started the show.
That's true.
Oh, wait, yeah.
And he knew we got to episode 100.
Way before.
Yeah, he...
Hey, guys, is our show like a modern-day Ouija board? Are we contacting folks beyond the grave?
Well, we already had...
Are we conduits?
We had Harry Carey call in earlier, too. But I think he was more making a prognostication about, like, podcasts existing and their one being about video games, that kind of thing. But,
He had a very involved call.
Randy Savage directly referenced us and seems to like the show. So, that's interesting.
I was so excited. I frankly forgot what he asked.
It was an exciting call.
Smash a game.
From what I heard, I think he asked what game would you smash if you saw someone playing it?
Now, is this the modern day smash term that the kids are using,
like with your genitals?
Probably
not, because Macho Man died approximately 10 years ago, so he probably wasn't using the modern day term. He also said, like, I'm going to smash Hulk Hogan, so I'm gonna go double down on that not being what he meant. So probably, like, literally just smash with your giant 27-inch pythons.
Well, no, he would not.
Well, no, that might also work.
But we get the gist.
Yeah, I think the gist is what we got on that call.
Yeah.
If it was a real question, I mean, I would have to take out and smash Gyroscope or Gyromite if somebody was playing that, because nobody has Rob the Robot anymore.
What is this game?
Gyromite.
Gyromite, yeah.
Where you had to use the robot to navigate through a maze.
You make pipes go up and down so you can navigate your guy through a maze.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if I saw somebody playing that, I would, you know, just take the game out. The red power light would start flashing. I wouldn't care. I'd smash it.
It'd be over. It's their fault.
Honest answer to an honest question.
That's all I want. That's all the Macho Man wanted to.
We've talked about the
T's and P's.
Yes.
I think the game I would smash, just because it comes to mind right now, is Ghostbusters. Did not care for that one.
The NES one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go with that one. That's always a safe answer when it comes to bad games.
Yeah, get that garbage out of here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Shaq Fu also, but
excuse me. What was that?
I wouldn't want to smash it, though. I have no idea when I'd be able to replace it with the sequel, so.
Yeah, you don't want to just like go
hold. Yeah, just hold on to that relic.
Oh my god.
Did Teebs answer?
Oh no.
I don't know if I have.
You know, I'm not into violence, guys, but if I would smash if somebody had Sonic and Knuckles and plugged in any game besides the ones that adapt to it, like they just plugged in some other random game, I would smash that. Like, what are you doing, man? Don't taint Sonic and Knuckles with this other game.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, the sanctity of Sonic and Knuckles.
Don't want that.
Hands off.
Yeah. I know that was such a trigger for you, but, you know. Whatever works.
He doesn't like mixing game races like that.
Oh, boy. It's going to get dark pretty quick.
No.
We should move along to the email portion of the show.
Let's roll the emails.
Todd, did you receive any mails?
Oh, you know what? I did.
Oh.
And it's a frequent writer. And he writes, "Hey, ya fellas. Steak and potatoes. Keenan and Kel. Fish and chips. Polly Walkman and Vern Dreiselberg. A lot of things in this world go great together. What are two game characters you'd like to see join forces, or smash, as the kids say? Please answer before my Thursday pitch meeting. Your pal, Johnny Nintendo's."
Oh. What were those actors that he named again?
Polly Walkman and Vern Dreiselberg.
That's obscure. Yeah.
The world famous duo.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with their work.
I think they go by different names professionally.
Yeah, yeah.
Their names were changed at Ellis Island.
Yeah, when they came in from the old country.
Oh, the film noir couple. Yeah, who work for Andres van der Kut.
Yeah, them.
That was a long... That was a big line of movies that were just hit after hit after hit in the early 30s New Hampshire theater scene.
The movies on the New Hampshire theater scene. Yes.
Yes, and they played out to sold out shows.
Precisely.
So is he asking like who we would add to Smash Brothers specifically? He is Johnny Nintendo's.
Oh, that is not what he was asking. He's asking what two game characters you'd like to see join forces or smash, as the kids say.
Oh, the kids.
Oh.
Join forces in the...
A team up. A team up of sorts.
The familial sense?
However you interpret his sentence, I guess.
We need some grammar lessons.
Hey, Johnny Nintendo, get your act together, buddy. Let's keep this clean. I thought this would be a nice email that the guys would like, but we're taking it off the rails here.
The fellas love this question.
Hey, you fellas.
Hey. team up of a video game corrects. I don't know, man.
I would go, for me, I mean, I've always wanted to see Spyro the Dragon and the dark-haired brother from Double Dragon together, just to see what they would do.
Right, okay. You could call it Dragon and Dragon.
I mean, D2.
That's such an esoteric matchup.
The Mighty Dragon.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, everybody knows the blonde-haired brother from Double Dragon. It would just be like oil and water with Spyro. I mean, it's common sense.
Yeah, okay. Everyone knows that.
I want to see, what was the mayor's name from that one game?
SimCity?
No. you're the mayor in SimCity. What was that? Streets of Rage. Right.
Final Fight?
Final Fight. The mayor from Final Mike Fight Hagar. And Zangief. Because I want to see if they're actually the same person.
Oh, that's a good point.
Mike Hagar.
You put the debate to rest once and for all.
Mm. I thought you were just saying those two because you like bears. They're both big, burly men.
You'll... I don't not like them.
I don't know. I think it's time for Yoshi and Donkey Kong to have a game together.
Oh yeah, a lot of passion. A lot of passion behind that answer.
You know, just let's mix up this IP. Yeah, you got this hot IP lying all over the place at Nintendo. It's time to just put it in a blender and see what comes out.
Put the carts away. Put the tennis rackets down. It's time for them to have an adventure.
See, that's the problem, man. They got to think like Hollywood. Like, they're putting like 20 characters in these games. What you need to do is just put like 4 of them in. And then you have like 50 million more combinations that you can just run into the goddamn ground. like the Defenders. So.
I feel like you've been sitting on this one for a while.
It's like, oh, Jessica Jones and Daredevil are cool. Let's saddle them with 2 other people nobody cares about.
Hey, half of the Luke Cage was good. And it went off the rails.
Yeah. It's like this guy is he's a huge dude and he can't be hurt. How can we screw this up?
Well, see, it's great because they all have different powers. Like, one's a really good fighter. And the other one's a really good fighter. And one guy's super strong, and that other girl is super strong. So you get, like, this really a big mix of, like, a variety of powers. That's what makes it so interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And one really good, gritty show was good. So why don't we just repeat it over and over again?
Right, right. It's a formula.
Yeah.
It's the cash just rolls in.
So anyways, I think we solved Hollywood's problems there.
Hopefully Johnny Nintendo's.
Whatever.
I got one for you. I didn't do my team up yet. I'm going to pick Ciri from The Witcher 3 and Chauncey from The Horde.
I have established a thriving town in the Shimto Plains.
He's needed a new game. He does need a new game. You're right. Don't keep Chauncey down.
Chauncey?
Don't hit Chauncey.
Chauncey.
Chauncey?
Chauncey.
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 That Chauncey.
Chauncey!
It's amazing how many different ways there are to say Chauncey.
Chauncey.
Oh. Oh, yep. I guess we got them all. Never mind.
I like that.
Perfect. Well, Huel, did you receive any mails?
Oh, man, I looked. I looked long and hard, but I could not see any mails in my mailbox.
Oh.
It's a real shame.
All right, then.
It's a real shame.
Well, Beryl, how about you? It would have been weird if you got mail about this, but maybe you did. Since we did not advertise your appearance, just to be clear.
Well, you know, I checked my email inbox. It was empty, but when I went and got snail mail, there were two letters addressed to me, which was out of the ordinary because my name isn't really Beryl, so I knew what it was from.
What?
Yeah. So
you got snail mail addressed to Beryl?
Yeah. And I don't even know how he got my address. So, I mean, I should probably go listen back because some info was given out on that Mike Tyson episode.
Apparently.
Mike Tyson's punch out. So let me open it up.
Oh, Foley work.
Let's see. Its return address is CHP, Los Angeles, California. Oh, let's see. Hey, punk, listen up. You may think it's cool to use bad language on podcasts, but it's not the scene, man. I heard your Mike Tyson episode and thought about the kids, the grandparents, and the good people who had to listen to your filth. If I see you on the PCH with so much as a busted light on your Panda 750, oh, he must be talking about my road rash motorcycle. I'm bringing you in to deal with Sarge myself. Signed, Officer Frank Ponch Poncherello, California Highway Patrol.
Wow. He is laying down the law.
Jeez. All right. Well,
jeez.
Things can't get any worse. Let me open this.
Is that who they based the TV show off that guy, right? That's who Eric Estrada portrayed in the adaptation.
The true life story, yeah.
I thought it was like Cops.
Oh, yeah, they filmed it as it was happening. That's true. Then there was dramatization later.
So this one's also addressed from CHP in LA. I got it a day after, so that's why I know which order to open these in. Mm-hmm. Also, the barrel. Hey, Beryl. Sorry about my partner. His heart's in the right place, but he gets hot-headed at times. Hey, next time you feel like saying a bad word, maybe try a clean word, which kind of sounds like a bad word. Anyway, I just got a call on the radio. There's a rash of purse thievery on Venice Beach, and a handicapped kid just took a spill out of their wheelchair. Keep your hands on the bars and your dreams in the stars. Officer John Baker, CHP.
Oh, okay.
It was trying much to mend, more uplifting.
Yeah, trying to mend the wrongs that were wronged to you.
I just want to give out
Punch.
I just want to give out a shout out to my motorcycle brethren, Punch and John. Thanks for listening, guys.
That's awesome.
Good guys. Yeah.
Thanks for writing.
Yeah.
I would agree. Yeah. Wow.
It's I thought it was a dead art, you know, but handwriting
really,
a letter,
yeah.
It means a lot.
It comes up fairly often, but I think we want to repeat that Steve and Huel are both huge fans of Blue Lives Matter and not the other one.
Yeah. Blue specifically. I put a sign in front of my house and everything.
Yeah. I did the same thing.
So I feel like I'll be getting letters soon, too.
Oh, boy. We're going to lose some sponsorships after this one. Well, I received one mail. Greetings. I know you will be surprised to get my email. Apart from being surprised, you may be hesitant to reply based on what is happening in the world of the internet. One has to be very careful due to the amount of scammers that are out there looking to take advantage of innocent citizens. However, I am not one of these people. My name is Captain Benjamin Riviera, and I was a member of the U.S. Army medical team deployed to Iraq and then later transferred to Afghanistan. I am looking for a trustworthy individual who will assist me in receiving some funds. I'm requesting this individual to hold on to the cash until I arrive safely back to retrieve them. As soon as I hear back, I will work out the finer details. Best regards, Captain Benjamin Riviera. Also, guys, what's your favorite Mario Kart racer?
Wow.
Wow.
Seems he's in a pickle.
We have to take him up on this opportunity.
We can't. He didn't ask a question. And the only question he asked was about Mario Kart. So.
Oh, true. Yeah. This is a video game podcast anyway. So.
Yeah.
Mario
Kart.
Guys, huh?
guys, Mario Kart's a video game.
Yeah.
So
what's your favorite
question?
Mario Kart racer.
I'd have to go with Wario because he's a big dumb jerk.
Todd?
Well, you know, it's like I've said multiple times, and my answer has never changed a single time, and it's got to be Dry Bones.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Solid one. Very solid.
Barrel, do you have a favorite kart racer?
Well, I drive a Mini Cooper in real life, so I'm all about agility and acceleration.
Mm-hmm. Don't say it.
So I'm a Toad Man.
Ah, oh, he's a toader. He's a toader.
We got a toader on our hands.
Oh, boy. That was a
not
magical
much,
moment.
Not much for defense, but, you know.
Are you the best?
I'm the best.
Ah. Say it for one more time. Only acceptable in Double Dash. Thank you.
And my favorite racer, as always, is the Koopa Trooper.
Oh, the Koopa Trooper.
Yeah. So on that note, Todd, did you have... did anyone need some help this week?
We do. We got somebody that needs help. So how about let us ask the Sweet Boys? Send all your asks into parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and I will keep you anonymous unless otherwise requested. And, fellas, we've been going heavy these past few weeks, so I tried to pick out an ask that we got that's just a little bit more light on the lighter side.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it a little bit more upbeat. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of pains in the world these days.
There is.
So let's keep it light. And this is from Anonymous. And they write, how come Chick-fil-A and other businesses won't open Sundays? Why won't they open on Sunday? I understand that God said keep Sunday holy, but why do we need to rest on Sunday? Some people need jobs to work, can't afford to rest. I don't understand what is so evil about working. People do other sinful things on Sunday anyway.
Oh.
A lot of people aren't Christian. There are Muslims. There are atheists. There are Buddhists. Chick-fil-A are so silly.
Good ask.
Silly billies.
Silly is definitely the word that I would use. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So why are they not open on Sunday? Is the ask?
That is the ask. Why
is that
won't
really,
they open Sunday?
Is that advice? Really?
Also, why do we need to rest on Sunday?
There it is.
Some people need jobs to work.
And we're already doing sinful things on Sunday.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like gambling.
Well, I mean, it's only that one place that's closed on Sundays nowadays, isn't it? It's like Chick-fil-A and the DMV.
One and the same.
And even DMV, you can just do it online.
Yeah.
What if you get Chick-fil-A online? Is that the solution? Like you order it Sunday and then it comes like Monday when the workers arrive.
Oh, I just got a new business idea, you guys.
Here it comes.
Buy 500 pounds of Chick-fil-A on Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
Get a bunch of infrared lamps and like spray bottles. Keep it moist.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Wait, I think you just...
Dale Chick-fil-A shop.
I think you just described Roy Rogers' business plan.
Yeah. You just described a highway rest stop.
Sunday morning. You want Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, people pay extortionate prices to get some Chick-fil-A on a Sunday. What is there anything more disappointed than being out on the town driving around? You're like, hey, I feel like getting a nugget or two, getting a waffle fry.
We have nugs.
Dip some in some barbecue sauce. You drive up to the Chick-fil-A, and Or as Steve says, it's Sunday.
So Barrel, do you sit in like a food truck outside of the barrel of the Chick-fil-A?
I will slap a Xerox piece of paper every Sunday morning before dawn on those drive-thrus that will be a QR code.
Oh.
And I come a-running. Plus, it doesn't hurt to, just kind of walk around city streets with a long duster, open it up, say, hey, buddy, need some hot chicken.
Just lined with sandwich bags.
Yeah.
Just little open up little bags, duster. Baggies of nuggets hanging everywhere.
They're kind of foggy inside from all the condensation.
Let me turn around and give you the sauce.
Oh boy!
Yeah. I think that's a win-win situation because Chick-fil-A is going to make a lot more sales on Saturdays.
Yeah. Plus, they won't be there on Sunday to like get mad at you, so they'll never know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about calling it Yesterday Filet.
Hmm? Oh, I like it.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah. Huh. So
there it is.
Yeah.
Thank you for the question. Now I'm going to go cash in.
Yeah, we should get going so that you can get started on that shop there.
Yeah. he'll never guess again. He'll be big time in us.
Well, I wanted to say to specifically answer the question, why won't they open on Sunday? Hey, they're a private business. They can do what they want. They can run their business how they want. Now get out of my face. Leave me alone. All right?
Yeah.
It's too busy shoving his face in that Chick-fil-A he's got right now, since we're not recording this on a Sunday.
You know, Monday through Saturdays are my days of rest. And I rest in a bathtub filled with pepper jack cheese and chicken sandwich.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, give me all the waffle fries. Just pour them on my body.
What a symbol of wealth.
Chick-fil-A bath.
The extravagance.
Yeah. Some people bathe in Evian.
I do
bathe
it
in peanut oil.
Chick-fil-A sauce.
I'm Polynesian. Have a taste.
Okay.
Oh, on that note. I
feel like I'm going to get another letter from Ponch.
Or the FCC.
Yeah, they're probably going to get a lot of letters after the show. Well, on that note, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Sure. Riding a motorcycle on today's highways, you have to ride in a very defensive manner. You have to be a good rider, and you have to have both hands and both feet on the controls at all times. Thank you.
Oh. Good words of wisdom there.
Yeah, Ponch could use those.
Mm-hmm. Huel, how about you?
Write down your high scores here, but do it in front of witnesses, or no one will believe you later.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, I thought so.
I just like the idea of like your mom or your sister getting upset. I don't believe that you got the score on Road Rash.
This manual. It's dripping with sass. Just sass from page to page.
Why didn't you pause the game and so I could verify it when I got home from work?
Oh, my God.
You know, it's Sunday. I don't have the day off. From
McDonald's?
So, Beryl, thanks so much for guesting on the show and suggesting this fine game. Anything you want to say before we signed off here?
Natasha said it best. You know, she said that some of these jerks would rather fight than race. Watch yourself out there.
Mm.
Ooh.
Words of wisdom.
It applies to life.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, instead of minding our own biz, some people would just rather tear other people down.
Yeah. Like Rude Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, where is that guy?
Let me at him.
Oh. Some would say love is the harshest battlefield of all.
Mm. Yeah. Pat Benatar. She's the one who said that.
Oh.
Thanks for having me, though.
Yeah, thank you.
It's fun. I like listening.
Listen, this pod is listened to by two of its three hosts each week. So.
Yes, exactly.
It's got a 66% success rate. All right. On that note, here's a snifferoo from next week's game.
It looks like they're going to gamble here. They're going to go for two. And they got the extra two. And put two more on the board. They're going for it. Comes up with it. With the amazing reception. Airs it out. I don't know how, but he came up with it. The circus catch. Did he hang on to it? I don't think he believes he caught the ball. Makes the grab. Oh, my. That was pure luck. Somehow comes up with it. And somehow he came up with it. I don't know how. That was fat. With a great second effort. With the reception. Whoa! Oh! Yes, he caught it! Big play. What a debacle. Oh, that was a disaster. A truly disgusting play. I don't know about that call. That flat out sucked. Oh, I can't believe it. I don't know about that call. What a truly pathetic display. That sucked. What was he thinking? What a disaster. Oh, what a disaster. What are they thinking? What was he thinking? What was he thinking? Who called that play? Why? 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 And it's blocked! Blocked! And that ball is blocked! They block it! It's all about pride now. Folks, at this point, it's all about the cheerleaders. There is absolutely nothing else to watch here. All eyes are on the cheerleaders, folks. And they just keep pouring it on. And they just keep running up the score. And they score again. And they score again. Another touchdown. Another touchdown. Another touchdown. Another touchdown. This is getting ridiculous. Folks, you've got to be here to appreciate the cheerleaders. They are incredible. Really incredible. Folks, you've got to appreciate the work these cheerleaders are doing. There is nothing happening on the field, and they are taking the brunt of the work today. They need to go back to the drawing board. These guys ought to be embarrassed. And this is just a beautiful day for just about anything, folks. Anything you can think of. Football, women, just great day.